buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, almost 5. My name's Mark Salem. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about your car and your car problems. I'm going to give you a hint. Call in early because the lines get pretty stacked up. 602-508-0960. 508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by my buddies at Quality Transmission. If you have any issue with your transmission, or you think it's your transmission, Bob or Steve at Quality Transmission is who you need to go visit. They'll drive your car for free. They'll take a ride with you. They'll talk to you. All for free. Obviously, when the car goes on the rack and we start taking things apart, it's going to cost money, but they'll make sure you know in advance. But the idea is that you get to talk to them and you get to show them. It doesn't cost you anything but time. They do anything. Automatic, standard transmission, years of experience, cars, trucks, 4x4s, even motorhomes. Quality Transmission is located in Tempe on McClintock North University, and no matter where you live, they're worth the drive, and you're welcome to tell them that Mark Salem sent you. Alrighty, folks, every week I talk to you, we inevitably, and I know I'm not supposed to use words I can spell. We always talk about the flushing aspect of your engine. And so I got this brochure in the mail today, and this says it all. These are chemicals. These are chemicals that our industry wants to sell you. Now, this is the sales brochure.
Caller Liz.
This engine treatment delivers dollars to your average ticket and to your bottom line. Now, he isn't talking to you. He's talking to me. Is a high profit, extra, quote, extra sale item, up to $9 per oil change if you put in this engine treatment. Now, folks, it's not hard for you to understand that an oil change, the cost basis of an oil change is probably in the $22, $23, $24 range. By the time we pay the technician, we buy 5 quarts of oil and a filter, we're there. So when you see a 1995, they're literally selling it below their cost. This is going to add $9 to their top line. Number three, a quart of da-da-da added during an oil change replaces a quart of conventional oil. Therefore, you're reducing your base cost per oil change. So we're going to use this quart. We're not going to give you a credit for the quart we're not going to put in your car. So on your Honda, you're going to get billed for an oil change, which is really 4 quarts, and the treatment. But really, you're not going to get that fourth quart because the treatment's going to take care of the... It's all about money. It's all about money. Whether it's good for you or not is your choice. I'm just making you aware that there's motivation behind that. Liz, good morning to you. What can I do for you?
I have a question about my 2005 Saturn Ion.
Okay.
It holds my keys hostage, and I'm unable to take them, turn the car from accessory to off.
Okay. I can help you. I don't want you to spray anything into the lock cylinder, okay? Don't do anything at all there, because it's likely to make it a whole bunch worse. I want you, when you get to a position of parking, do you find yourself parking up against the block in parking lots, or do you kind of hit it and bounce off?
I actually don't do either because I had damage to the front end of my car.
Okay, good.
So I'm real careful to not hit.
Good. And so when you park and you turn the key off, before you turn the key off, I just want you to kind of turn the steering wheel a little bit to the left, 2 or 3 inches, and just let it go. And I want the steering wheel in a relaxed position.
Okay.
And I want you to take the key out. Then when you come back in, if you stick your key in, and that it's at that point you have the key is being held by the column, right?
Right.
Okay. When you go out, I want you to take your left hand, and on the top of the steering wheel at 12 o'clock, I just want you to shake it gently left and right as you, with your right hand, you jiggle the key. I need to know if there's a relationship between the slight movement of the steering wheel and your key coming out. I also want to know if there's a relationship. Do you have an automatic?
Yes.
I want you to get in the habit of slamming it into park. I don't mean violently slamming it. I mean twice as hard as you normally put it into park. I want you to firmly put it into park.
Okay.
And I want you to picture this. There's this hole about the size of a pencil, and there's this pin that about the size of a pencil, and we have to kind of line those two up. If those two are just slightly off, then the pin will not go into the hole, it won't lock the steering column, and it won't let you go back to off. So I'm having you shake the steering wheel a little left and right to see if that makes a difference. Because if you can demonstrate to the shop exactly, and you say, watch, I'm going to show you how it does it. See how it's locked? I can't get the key out. Now, if I just take the steering wheel and wiggle it here, or if I put the shifter in softly to park, or if I firmly put it into park, that makes all the difference in the world. What you've done is saved yourself $100 in diagnostic fees.
Oh, okay.
Because when you put it in park, we're going to release the key. And when you put it in park, we're not going to let you put it in park till you hit the brake. So a lot's going on during this period of time, but your Honda is well known for ignition key problems. Do you have a new key? Perhaps someone else has a key that they never use for your car.
Yes, I actually have one of those.
Would you switch with that for me too?
Okay.
And when you switch with it, we're going to use a new key and some old, very old tumblers. If that makes it better, then you're done. Immediately take the new key and go have another one cut. Throw the old key away.
Gotcha.
And just bend it in half, hit it with a hammer, throw it in the trash, throw it in your metal bin or whatever. But if the new key works and works fine, then it's just the wear and tear on your old key. We get this a lot with husband and wives who don't drive one another's vehicles. So if you switch keys, 50% of the time they say it's a whole lot better.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome, Liz. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960.
Caller Andy.
602-508-0960. Andy, good morning to you. What can I do for you?
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. I have a 2010 Ford Escape that was leaking some transmission fluid. Needed an oil change also, so I actually took it into one of your... I was looking on your website. They're no longer recommended by you. But I took it in, and they ended up telling me that, the motor mount needed to be changed out. That's the reason it was leaking oil from the front. There was the front right axle seal.
Okay.
And so I took it over to Quality Transmission, because that was the next thing that was recommended. They changed the transmission fluid, and they couldn't find any problems with the axle. The noises I'm hearing right now is when I back up 15 to 20 feet and hit the brake, I hear a big clunking noise. It doesn't do it every time, but it does it, you know, most of the time. Same thing if I just go 15, 20 feet forward, you know, real slow, not even pushing the gas, and okay, I hear a clunking noise. The other noise I hear is just when I'm driving down the street with the windows open, there's like a chirping noise from the front. It sounds like a rotor from the front right side.
Okay.
All I do is push the brake and the noise stops.
Okay. You have identified the brakes as being a part of the chirping noise.
Yeah.
And this is what we're going to do to identify whether the clunk forward and backward is also brakes. I just want you to stand outside the car and teach someone how to back up and then firmly apply the brakes about the time that the front wheels get to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is the pads sit inside the caliper, but there's a little upward movement and backward movement in the pad. So
okay,
when you drive forward and you hit the brakes, the pad goes forward to the stop.
Right.
And then when you back up, as you back up and hit the brakes, then the pad is shoved backwards into the stop. If that pad's rotating front and back, to be perfectly honest with you, if you had a lot of meat on the pads, I would say to you, Andy, just put up with it until we have to put new brakes in it.
Okay.
And the chirp, 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 if the brake pads are good and they still got a lot of meat on them, I'd say to you, are you sure you want to spend a lot of money on this? Can you just live with it? Nothing is happening. We've identified the noise. You've done a wonderful job saying chirp, 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 and it's speed related to chirp, 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 chirp.
Exactly, exactly.
And you touch the brakes and it goes away. We're done. But I want to back way up on this conversation. When you went in, what was your specific request?
Exactly what I explained to you was the chirping noise and the clunking noise.
Okay.
And these guys, you know, they used to be one of your recommended guys. I've gone there for 10 or 15 years. And
yeah,
the fact that they told me, you know, it was just a motor mount that the engine mount bracket and that they replaced and installed new. I mean, I've done $600 into it and still the same.
Okay, was this a shop on the east side or a shop in the central?
Yeah, I'm right here at Chandler at McQueen and Ray, so you can kind of guess.
Okay, all right. Here's and I want to tell you something. I would tell you this whether even if it was my shop, I would tell you the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, you have what you need, and I'll tell you in a minute how I'm buying an engine for a truck, cause, so nobody can say Mark doesn't practice what he preaches. You have what you need. You have repair order number one with basically the same symptoms as repair order number two. And mm-hmm. Number one did nothing for symptom one, and you should label them in your letter, one, two, and three.
Okay.
And then in invoice two, you say symptom A has been taken care of, symptom B is taken care of, but these two continue to exist today.
Okay.
And you write a nice letter.
2 minutes.
And you allow them the opportunity to answer you and be specific about what you want. Now, if they put a part on and yours was worn but it didn't fix anything, it's not bad for the customer to say, I'll pay for the part but not the labor, or vice versa. Okay. I think I'm going to benefit from this part, although you guessed wrong. I'll probably benefit from this part, so I'll pay for the part, you pay for the labor. Be in a posture of negotiation.
Okay.
There has been times I've been with the Better Business Bureau for 20 or 30 years, and there have been times where there's conflicts because sometimes business people are involved in the dispute resolution process. And so be wary of that as you proceed through
One
the
minute.
Process. And make sure that you grab the steering wheel. For instance, you may decide that you don't want to go through a particular committee and you want to go straight to arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
And so just you just tell them what you want to do. Okay.
Okay. I really appreciate your help.
All right, Andy. Good luck to you. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about Mark's week. Okay. Mark's week was a bad week. And Mark's week, I probably spent more money than I made last week, but it's still the way it is. So when we come back, I'm going to cry on your shoulder just a little bit. Not myself. But the idea is that sometimes us shop owners just ask ourselves if we want to keep you. Because even if you're wrong and it's $50, $100, I'm likely to give that to you. We'll discuss it, but I'm likely to give that to you if I want to keep you. But if I don't want to keep you, that may be the reason that we get a divorce. And in the last 3 weeks, I've lost three employees. And four of them left on their own volition. Although one of them and I had some words before he left. So you can imagine what kind of a week I've had. But you know what? That's just a day in the life of any repair shop owner, any business owner for that matter. It's just that's the way it is. But I want you to know I practice what I preach. I want you to know that, like I tell my staff, until we know what's wrong with this truck, we don't know whose fault it is. And they came to me and said, he didn't have this when he came in. When we said we had low oil pressure, it was a surprise to him. He was really kind about the whole thing. And it's clear that we gave him this problem. So once we get him on his way, then Eddie and I are going to do an autopsy on the old motor. And we're going to find out where all this oil was going, because we have a big leak somewhere and the oil pressure is unable to develop, especially after the engine warms up. So we'll figure this out and we'll learn from our mistake. But it doesn't make any difference who you are. You know, the tar barrel is waiting for you no matter what. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or car problem, I'm ready and at your service. 602-508-0960. And I also want to remind you that when you have a problem, we were talking to Andy a few minutes ago, and the gist of that conversation is I took it to shop A, and they did some work, and I think he said it was about $600, but none of the symptoms that he asked them to address did they fix.
1 minute.
And one of the ones that was most concerned to me was that he had an oil leak and they replaced an engine mount. So I'm going to have to do some research on the relationship. Now, it is true some cars have oil in their engine mounts, and I'll do some research on this Escape, but I don't think so. Nevertheless, then he went to the second shop, and they repaired some of it, and then we talked about some of it, and he's happy. So how do you do that, and how do you do it nicely? And you got to figure out, more than anything else, is what is it you want? So make sure you always tell the complaining business, you know, what it is that you think would make you happy. And that's something that's missing from 99% of the complaint letters I get, I've gotten over 30 years, is what do you want me to do? I know you want to chew on my ear a little bit, and it's okay, but just what do you want me to do? 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem, and we'll be here until 12 o'clock, so we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. It's 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and I'm your host until 12. We're talking about car and car repair problems, and I want to talk to you about Kurtz Auto Repair real quick. You'd be hard-pressed to find the level of expertise and their automotive technicians can provide you. Kurtz has years and years of experience working on domestic and import cars, both gasoline and diesel. He actually told me he worked on a coal-fired vehicle the other day, but I didn't believe him. Kurt's goal is to offer the best services at affordable prices and get you back on the road quickly. Kurt at Kurt's Auto is located at I-17 and Bell Road, just east of the freeway on the north side of the road. So if you live in that area and you don't have a great garage, I do. So you can try Kurt's Auto Repair, I-17 and Bell. All right, we're going to the phone. Steve, you're up next. How can I help you today?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Morning.
You know, usually I'm talking to you about my 97 Ford F-250 Power Stroke, but that I'm having an issue with now is my wife's car, which is a 2007 Saturn Sky Roadster.
Okay.
And with the Saturn dealers gone bye-bye and have an extended warranty that was written to go through a GM shop, I'm like held hostage on who can work on this car. And just general maintenance, you don't get a good warm and fuzzy that the shop knows what they're doing when you send the car in for an oil change. And they changed the oil, but they didn't bother changing the oil filter. And the reason the shop told me they didn't change the oil filter is they couldn't find it. Now, the Saturn has the same engine that the HHR has in it.
Yeah.
And now it does have a decorative bezel that covers where the oil filter comes out on kind of the top valley of the engine.
Okay.
So I don't get good warm and fuzzies when, one, they tell me they can't find the oil filter, and this is a GM dealership on the west side, and two, we're sorry we couldn't check the transmission fluid level for you because we couldn't find the dipstick in the car's a 5-speed manual.
Okay.
So what does Mark Salem do if his wife has a Saturn Sky Roadster? And the car is no problems, just standard regular maintenance in and out of the shop is all we have. We had a clutch cable that came loose when, you know, in the first 20,000 miles, and my wife drives it about 7,000 miles a year.
Okay. Well, first of all, I hear lots about the Saturns, and I want to tell you what I tell everybody else. I am not unable to buy Pontiac and Oldsmobile parts, which have been gone for a very long time. So it's not like we're going to run out of parts, especially when the sister car, the HHR, and some of the other cars. We also have cross-references for every part. So if we have a Wix part, we can cross it into a Wagner part or a Raybestos part. We can cross it into a Ford or a GM part. We can cross everything. So parts are not going to be a problem. If your warranty is an aftermarket warranty, it cannot restrict you to the dealership. So you need to talk with them about that. If there is a warranty that's provided by the car maker through the dealership, then your warranty is only available at the dealership. If you don't like the one you're going to, then just find another one. But what happened in your case, and I'm going to guess, is that oftentimes the dealer is a big, huge, mega business, and so they have a Quick Lube facility over here on the corner. And the Quick Lube facility has a manager, and his job is to make money. So he hires high school kids and college kids and youngsters who want to work on cars and look at it as a way to get in the back door of the service department of the dealer. You ran across that. I can assure you, no Master Tech, and I'm going to stick up for the Chevy dealers. Now, I don't know which one you used, but I'm sorry they did that to you. But no Master Tech would have said either one of those things to you. It's just that the shop manager doesn't know any more about the cars than those guys that are draining the oil and changing the filters. So he doesn't know that he's regurgitating something that's as silly as there's no dipstick on a 5-speed. So just find somebody else, but address the warranty issue first. But there's a lot of places that can do your oil change.
Right. Well, and the thing was, you try to feel, in fact, we drove by two Saturn dealers to buy this car at Scottsdale because of the treatment my wife got on her first Saturn. And, you know, service has been great, and you try to throw a bone to the dealer on those issues that only the dealer can provide for you, because I'm a believer, as I talked to you many, many times, in my mom and pop shop on the west side in Glendale here.
Yeah.
But, it's just, if you have to go to a dealer, do it. Should I take it to a Chevy dealer? Should I take it to a Cadillac?
No, you can take it to any GM dealer. Any GM dealer, so just take it to anybody. Just take it to a GM dealer, and if you're not happy, then move on. But if you find somebody you like, get their name and ask for them again. I got 10 seconds to go, but 602-508-0960. Adam, you stay right there. You're first. 602-508-0960. When we come back, we're going to take more calls. I'm Mark Salem. We'll be back.
Most Friday nights, I can be found in the bed of my.
Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Larry Harker's has been in the Valley since 1967. The current owners, Bob and Ellen, have owned and operated Larry Harker's since 1989. Their technicians have been with them for years and years. And believe me when I tell you that Bob and Ellen are a great couple to manage a repair shop. They balance off of one another very much like other couples do in our industry. One's a little hard, one's a little soft, but it makes a perfect blend. Now, Bob knows lots about cars, and Ellen knows lots about everything else. So, if you're looking for somebody that's going to do quality parts at affordable prices and good labor in the Phoenix area, 38th Avenue and Indian School is where Larry Harker's Auto is. I suggest you stop by 38th Avenue and Indian School, Larry Harker's. Adam, you're up next. How can I help you today?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I'll try to be quick. I called a few weeks ago. I have an 05 Ford Excursion 6-liter 4x4. Cruise control is not working. I tried what you said. I pulled backwards on the brake pedal, shook the steering wheel, could not get it to turn off once it was on, but it's hard to get to turn the cruise control to actually function, to turn on and start controlling speed of the vehicle.
Okay. So you what you're telling me is that you've got a light on the steering column or on the controls that tells you when you put it on, but you can't get it to either resume or set.
Well, there's no light. The light only comes on when you set it, and I've never got the resume to work. It's never worked before. I tried to hit resume, and it never works.
Okay, but if you shut the key off, there is no resume, so you have to go to set.
Yeah, well, I got it to turn it off, and try to hit resume, nothing happened.
Okay, but what I mean is and I'm not 100% sure I'm feeding you good information, but every vehicle I've ever owned, I'm driving on my way up to the ranch, and I set the cruise control at 60. Here's a truer story. I'm driving up to the ranch. I'm doing 70 and 65. And so I see a police car, and I hit the brake and slow down to 65, and I go past him. Now, the key's been on. The memory has the last speed I set it at, which was 70. I hit resume, and goes right back up to where I was at, which was 69 or so. I think that's what it was. In the case, if you don't have that before in there, then you have to do a set first. So there has to be a button. One of them says resume. One of them is set. And then there's also a button with a positive and negative on it. And the positive says, give me one more mile an hour from where I'm at, or give me one less mile an hour from where I'm at. But in your case, with no previous history, the resume doesn't know what the last history was, so you have to go to set. And once you, if you can set it at 60, then when you hit the brake and hit resume again, it'll pop back up for you. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying. My cruise control doesn't seem to work. Sometimes, very rarely, when I hit set, it will actually function. And other times, nothing works. I turn it on and I hit set and nothing happens.
Okay, is your steering control, is your cruise control on the turn signal lever or on the steering wheel?
On the steering wheel.
Okay. How many miles are on the excursion?
130.
Okay. More than likely, it's going to be a steering wheel button problem. And now what I'm going to have you do is the set button. I want you to manhandle the set button.
I've done that.
Okay. Then I want you to take the butt of an ink pen, and I want you to hit it at 12 o'clock and hold it, hit it at 6 o'clock and hold it, 9 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I want you to hit the center. I need to know if the buttons are bad. And okay. The fact that you can get it to work sometimes means the circuit's alive and it's got a good power and it's got a good ground. And the last thing you want me to do is guess, but right now all I can guess is that I put a new pad on it.
Yeah.
But if you can say to me, Mark, I literally pick up a screwdriver off my center console and I put it right diagonal on that set button and I push it really hard and it sets almost every time, then we got a button problem.
Right.
But that's what it sounds like. It's 130,000 miles. And your wife probably drives dirt roads, and she has the windows down, so the inside's kind of dirty, and that explains it.
It's actually a clean car. I bought it off a homeowner 30,000 miles ago. No dirt roads.
Okay. All righty. Well, Adam, let me know what happens. I'm interested, but I think we need to play with the keys, and I'm trying to save you some diagnostic money. That's all I'm trying to do.
I appreciate that. Thank
okay.
you, Mark.
Thank you. All righty. It's another day at the salt mine. No, really, I enjoy this Saturday. I look forward to Saturday. I look forward to talking with you about car repair. I want to go back to something that's kind of bugging me because that was the call from Andy, which was the second caller for the show. And the phone number, by the way, is 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960.
Caller,
and Les, I'm going to get to you in just a second here. The idea is I know I'm not perfect. Okay, everybody that knows Mark Salems will not say that when you look up perfect in the dictionary, his picture's there. I'm not. But I do know right from wrong in my industry. And that's the reason why I had to remove two shops from my list not too long ago because of some serious ethical issues. Andy had said that he had gone to one of the shops that used to be on my list. Here's the quick story. The two guys back in 1988 that owned that shop were friends of mine. And in 1988, when we first started doing radio, they asked for the exclusive. So I couldn't do another shop like what they did. And I said, fine. So fast forward 20 years. They decide to retire and they sell it to someone else. And I went against my own rules because the new owner has to have 5 years under their belt. And I let him stay. And I kept him on my list. And he had more complaints in 1 year than the two guys before him had in 20 years, or 30 years, or 40 years. So finally, I just kicked him off. And it's all written up on the website, marksalem.com, at Best Car Repair Shops. Click on the Best Car Repair Shop link. And so he's gone. In the meantime, there's a gentleman that I've been friends with for 20 years that owns a like kind of auto repair shop. And he steps forward and he says, can you help me now? And I didn't even have to blink my eyes. I just said, absolutely. Absolutely, because I'm only going to have one of these shops, and you certainly are a good one. So it kind of happens that way, but I mean it when I tell you that the shops I'm offering to you as an option, I'm not forcing them down your throat, these are good guys. And they all know that and only two of them have tested me, and both of them were removed. And that's just part of calling it my list. Les, good morning to you. How can I help you today?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a 2005 Chrysler Town & Country.
Okay.
75,000 miles on it. I had it in the dealer the other day for the 75,000 maintenance. And they did a power steering flush and front end alignment.
Okay. Okay.
They told me that the steering gear is leaking into the Bella boots.
Okay.
And then I needed a new rack and pinion assembly to the tune of $1,600.
Okay.
Does this sound logical, reasonable? There's no leaking. The steering wheel doesn't make any noise. I looked under the car. There's no drips.
Okay.
The power steering fluid doesn't go down.
Okay.
What do you think?
All right. Let's turn this around. I am less. You're the service writer.
Right.
I say, what kind of symptoms would I see with this this leak at the one end of the rack and pinion assembly where the bellows are? And you're going to answer me. And then I say, what happens if I don't do it? And the service writer is going to answer you. And then you say, okay, I want you to, on my work order, I want you to put exactly what's leaking and exactly the parts and the labor and the sales tax and everything on the repair, and then just type your full name in and put your phone number there for me. Here's what happens then. If this is a big BS trick, then they're not going to sign their name to nothing. Here's the situation. The rack and pinion assembly is a big tube of toilet paper in the center of your car. You got it?
Yes.
And there are slides, and when you turn, like, left, the entire rack assembly goes left, and these two rods extend out of the toilet paper tube. So when the left one goes out, the right one goes in, and vice versa. You have seals on the ends of those shafts, and when those seals leak, they go into the bellows. Now, it's called a dust boot, and it's just supposed to keep dust and dirt off that seal assembly. The only time it's ever going to leak, ever going to leak, is when the leak is so bad, but you said that you're not adding anything.
Right.
You said you don't see anything, and the, those two things, I'm not adding anything, and I never see a leak, those are all you need. See, he's even agreeing with me. He's agreeing.
Yeah.
And the idea is that if here's how you find out how bad the leak is. Wait for a couple of days. I want you, next time you take the wife shopping, by the way, there's a brand new mall down south, my wife says, at the Wild Horse Pass that's really unbelievable if she liked to go there.
Yeah.
She'll meet my wife down there. She's spending her life down there. Nevertheless, you turn this, you get to a place where it's kind of clean concrete and you can see if you're going to squirt oil. You turn the steering wheel all the way to the right, which collapses the right boot, and make a quick two or three circles and get out of the car and see if you can see any circles of fluid dripping or streams of fluid in a circle. Then I want you to do the same thing with the left side. But I got to tell you something. Every rack has a drip or two out of the bellow boot or the dust boot. Every rack. We want the fluid to go outward and clean the seal. It's okay that the fluid goes outward and keeps the seal moist, because the alternative would be dust comes in and gets shoved inward. That's not what we want. So if he was my guy, I'd say, first of all, I say, what the hell is the matter with you? Where's the leak? Show me underneath the car, because if it's leaking, it's dripping, it should be blowing back. It should be all along the underside of the car. It should be coming up the back bumper. It should be on the tailgate. Where's this leak? I just went and talked to him, and he said he doesn't have an adding fluid since Fred Flintstone was in town. He doesn't see anything on his driveway, and you're trying to sell him a $1,600 rack. Bring the car back in here, and I want to see the leak you see, because we're talking about a leak or a weep or a seep. Because they play games with those words.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's moist or it's wet. I want to tell you something. Can you tell that my panties are wadded up right now?
Yeah.
If my technician comes in and uses words like weeping and seeping, or it's wet and it's moist, he better be talking about how his grandkid kisses him.
Mm-hmm.
He better not be talking about an oil leak. It's an oil leak that the customer knows about. It's an oil leak the customer's dealing with, and that's the one we're bidding. But to go in there and start looking at all the power steering hoses and say, oh, there's a little moisture here, we should replace this, that's not what's in your best interest.
Right.
So the two things you said to me are the most important. I don't see a leak, and I'm not adding any fluid. That's a shame. Maybe you should find another shop.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the way I feel.
Two about minutes.
It.
Yeah. Thanks for your help.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. You know, I get all wound up, and someday I'm going to fall over because the old ticker quits working.
We got caller John.
You know, John, real quick, buddy, how are you today? What can I do for you?
I just got a quick question about oil weight. If I'm going to be towing a small trailer behind my truck this summer for about 800 miles, factory keeps saying keep 530. Is there any reason why I should go to 1030 just because I'm going to be towing something?
How many miles are on the motor?
50,000.
How many?
50,000.
Okay. I want to tell you that I wouldn't, if you were going to borrow my truck to haul a horse trailer 800 miles, I'd put in whatever you wanted. If you feel good with 1030, that's fine. It's summertime, and you're not going to run into some cold weather unless you're going to Ohio, and 800 miles isn't going to get you to Ohio. So right now, you could use 5 or 10. You have what we call the pillow mentality, and that's okay. I'm not teasing you. The pillow mentality is the thicker the oil, the better the engine likes it, and that's not true. Put your hands together like you're praying. Rub them together real fast. You can feel the heat in the palms of your hand. Now, I want to take that heat. I want to flush the heat out. I want to flush the trash out, and I want to provide lubrication. Am I better off with peanut butter or soaring machine oil?
I got it. So okay. I'll just stick with the 530 sure. And then not worry about it. So
here's
even in 100-degree weather, I'll be all right.
Yes, sir. If you look at the graphs, the 30 weight goes up to 140 degrees ambient temperature. Ambient. So you're fine. Here's the real killer. There's cars coming out right now that are going to be calling for zero weight. Zero weight. You might as well put water in those guys. When we come back, we're going to take calls. If you'd like to line up now, 508-0960. 602-508-0960. My name is Mark Sadam. We'll be back.
General purposes only.
Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, 602-508-0960. We have lines available and wide open. And I have a question for many of you. And there's a point to my madness, but I want to just tell you. Millimeter is 1/1,000,000th of a meter, and a meter is 39 inches. So we're going to take 39 inches and divide it into 1,000,000 lines. So here's my question to you. Those of you that are out there, maybe you know what your air filter on your car, what millimeter does it filter to? Or maybe you deal in some other industry where a filtering mechanism is going to filter a millimeter something. I want you to call me and tell me because we're going to compare it to a brand new oil filter that's come out that's the king of all kings, the king of all kings. It's a 10,000 mile oil filter. And you wouldn't believe what this thing can do. But you also won't believe what kind of micron it filters. So that's the point. Is a human hair is 7 microns thick. So you can draw 7 lines in a human hair, and that's 7/1,000,000th of an inch. Or no, 7/1,000,000th of a meter, 39 inches. So that I'll spot you that. All right, we're going to go to Olaf first. Olaf, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Yes, I have a 2008 Toyota Camry.
Okay.
And it has a feature that I dislike, and probably all cars do. When I go from a drive to park, the doors unlock. And I want to change that feature where I have to manually unlock the doors once I put it in park.
Okay. Do you have any buttons or television screens in there that allow you to chirp the horn when you push the remote or anything like that? Do you have any menus that you've seen?
No, but the only I'm following the instruction on the owner's manual, and I cannot get it to change that feature. However, the car does have an aftermarket security system.
Oh, okay. Do you know who put it in?
Car is the name of the...
Okay. That's the first place you go talk to. You tell them, because see, the transmitter, the relay on an aftermarket alarm system has a whole bunch of wires that do a whole bunch of things. So when you go to park, that turns around and opens up the door lock. All they have to do is clip that wire. if that is something that they gave you when they put your alarm system in, if that open the doors, unlock the doors when you go to park is something they gave you.
No, that was part of, this is a natural part of the car.
Okay, if that's the case, and if the owner's manual offers you the option of doing away with that option, but yet you've been unsuccessful, is that it?
Yes.
Okay, where do you live?
On the west side of, northwest side of town.
Okay, I'm going to challenge somebody up there on the northwest. So do you live north, like on Bell? Do you live south on?
On Peoria.
Peoria. I want you to go out to Thunderbird Auto. That's Grand and Reams.
Okay.
Grand and Reams. Thunderbird Auto. Grand and Reams. It's an Enterprise, so it's going to be a little north and west of you. I want you to go out there and throw the gauntlet at him. You're going to walk in. Now, don't go there on Monday morning or Friday night for obvious reasons, but you're going to walk in. And you're going to say to, I think Tom is out there, if not his partner is out there. And you're going to say, I was talking to Mark Salem the other day, and I've got this problem that I've got, and I can't make it work. And he said, well, don't go to Thunderbird Auto out there and surprise, because he can't do it either.
Okay. All right?
And that's kind of like waving the red flag in front of the bull. So you say, here's my owner's manual. Here's what I want you to do if you can. And then, because... I don't even think he'll charge you. I really don't think he'll charge you. And if he does, it's going to be minimal amount of money. But that's where I would go, and that's what I would say. And then you, if you just pour a little bit more on it, say, you know, Mark said nobody can fix this. Nobody in the whole wide world can fix it. You're just, you know, powdering up his chest. And then when he does it, he's going to have a message for Mark Salem. Don't bother giving it to me because I know it's going to be bad. So, no, he'll do a good for you job. Good job for you, Olin, I promise.
Okay, thank you much.
All righty. And Chadwick, you're up next, buddy.
Hey, Mark. You seem to be having a theme today on oil, so I figured we'll just stick with that theme. I've got a 2007 Volkswagen Eos, and I'm curious, how important is it to put in the synthetic oil or not if you change your oil regularly?
Okay, those are a dichotomy. They're opposites. If the conventional oil, a regular conventional oil, is a 3,000 to 4,000 mile interval oil change interval, and
right.
A semi-synthetic goes from 5 to 7.5 or thereabouts, and then a synthetic is 7,500 upwards to 10. But Mercedes says some of their cars will do 15. But I'm not going to accept responsibility for that motor at 15.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is if you don't want to spend the synthetic, when are you changing the synthetic now?
I've been using for a long time. I've been using conventional, but I've changed it every 3,000 to 5,000. Never missed a change.
All right. Well, then why not just stay where you're at?
Well, that's what I thought. They always bug me when I go in to change it. They say, "Oh, you really need to use synthetic," and so I didn't know if that was actually true or not.
Oh, Chadwick, here's the problem. The problem is if we move you to synthetic, we're only going to see you once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
But if we leave you at conventional, we're going to get to see you 5 times a year.
Right.
And there's 5 times we get to sell you something where synthetic. But on the other hand, with the synthetic price is so significantly different that even if you don't come in but twice a year, we still get 2 shots at you. But the synthetic oil, that typically is going to be anywhere from $75 to $125.
Right. So I should be okay to just stick with as long as I do it regularly, it's not gonna mess my engine up with pretty high mile engine too.
No. Here's the difference between synthetic and conventional, real quick. Synthetic turns to a wax at 60 below 0. Conventional turns to a wax at 30. When was the last time you were at 30? Okay.
But I've never taken my car to Russia, so
okay.
Probably never.
All right, and on the top side, here's the heat side. The conventional oil in the engine, when the oil temperature gets to about 325 degrees, a conventional oil turns to a tar, a solid. Now, I want to tell you something. Everybody within 100 million miles of my voice, when your motor oil temperature reaches 325, your butt is cooked no matter what you got in there. You are dead. You are
right.
Now, semi-synthetic won't burn and turn to a solid till 500 degrees, but I suggest to you that at 325, your motor's cooked. It doesn't care.
Right.
So the head gaskets are blown out of it. The pistons are starting to come apart. The bearings are all gone. Everything is gone. So what's another 200 degrees?
Right.
That's it. That's the bottom line.
All right. Well, thanks, Mark. Appreciate
it. You betcha. Jim, you're up next. How are you, Jim? What can I do for you?
Mark, I just found your show, and I love it.
Thank you.
I have a 98 Jeep that is just driving me batty. It stalls intermediate. I've had it to two different shops. Both of them couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. I mean, and it does it just randomly.
All right. Let me ask you some questions.
Okay.
When it dies, will it start up on the next time you crank it?
Sometime.
Okay. And here's what I'm trying to do. Is it fuel or spark? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Fuel or spark?
Now, I think it's spark.
Okay. Here's the deal. If it's fuel, it'll typically take you two or three or four key cycles to get it to start because we have to reprime the fuel system. If it's ignition, you can say to yourself, I'm going to count to 30, and it starts every single time, boom, at 30 seconds. I just need a little cool off. Now, if it's electrical, and if you think it's spark, then the crankshaft sensor, do you have the 4-liter?
Yeah.
Okay. The crankshaft sensor on that has been updated 4,267 times. And they first said put a new sensor in it. Then they said the sensor's too weak, we'll make it stronger. Then we'll make it really strong. Now it's too strong. Let's change the color. Yellow works better than blue, pink, black, whatever. Oh, and you know what? Let's shorten up the harness because the harness is too long. And we noticed that we'd plug it in and then we'd have 17 miles of harness. Where, you know, what are we going to do with all this? Well, don't cut the harness. So now it comes with a shorter harness. So if you want an educated guess.
I would love one.
I do the crankshaft sensor.
Crank. Okay. All right.
And you can do it yourself because it's not that hard. Follow the directions or go into one of those auto parts store and have them print out the procedure. But you're going to disconnect the battery. It's on the passenger side. It's back by the motor. It's near the flywheel. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. And if you've ever replaced a water pump on a V8 Chevy or Ford, you can pull it. Now, once you buy it and get it in your hand, you know what it looks like. And you're going to pull the old one out. You're going to put the new one in. You're not going to force anything. And then you're going to plug it in, connect the battery, and go try it.
All right. And any auto parts, I mean, there's not one that's better or worse as far as what I should get?
Well, first of all, the Jeep doesn't have a factory that makes crankshaft sensors. There's no such thing as a Jeep factory that makes that. So they buy them from one of the hundreds of vendors out there. Your car is built by the lowest bidder, whether you like it or not. The idea is I want you to find a name. Okay, if you found a white box with no name on it, that's not a sensor I want you to put in the car.
Okay.
But if it had, you know, if it had a name brand like and I'm Wells would not be a bad one. Delco, Delphi, Denso, some of the big brand names, that's what you want. But you don't want, you know, Mark and Rex from Connecticut. You don't want that one, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you, buddy.
Thank you so much.
You bet. All righty. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. If anybody wants to talk micrometer or millimeters, a millionth of a meter, 1 millionth of a meter. That's kind of an important conversation because your engine really thrives on those kinds of small particles and they can mess up your injectors and all that kind of jazz. But if you're not going to call me, then next segment I'm going to explain to you why I was asking that question and we'll talk about that. Another thing that we can talk about, we're getting into air conditioning season. And do you want to check your air conditioning yourself?
1 minute.
Even the ladies can change it. Check the air conditioning themselves. As a matter of fact, they do a better job than you leather loafered, silk socked guys. Leather loafered, silk socks. You know, I wear cowboy boots every day, so you have to forgive me. But I promise you, if I have to take my cowboy boots off, or let's say I got hit by a car, and the paramedic, they wouldn't find silk socks on these old feet. I promise you that. Nevertheless, 602-508-0960. When we come back, we're going to tell you how to check your own air conditioning system. You can do it yourself, and the cost is about $3 or $4. So we'll explain to you what you're looking for, and you're looking for basically two things. And once you check those, if everything's okay and well within these spreads I'm going to give you, then you're home free. 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. It's my pleasure to be your host every Saturday from 10 to noon. We'll be back.
Dennis Prager raised up from under my hood.
Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and I'm your host every Saturday from 10 to noon, and we're talking about cars. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by my East Side Transmission Shop. Folks, Quality Transmission handles the east side of the valley. He does a great job. He is the only one in the East Valley that I recommend for a really good reason. And the reason is because I know he does a good job, and I know he's honest. And I know he has the same philosophy as I do. Nobody knows whose fault it is until we get it fixed. And sometimes you get it fixed and find out it's his fault, but there's nothing you can do about it. That's the way Bob is. So if you're looking for a good transmission shop, he'll drive your car for free. He'll go with you while you demonstrate what you want him to check out. And oftentimes I'll send people there because they have a problem that could be an engine miss, or it could be related to the transmission. And because Bob will drive your car first, he'll oftentimes say, this is not a transmission problem, this is an engine problem. And that, he just saved you a lot of money. He'll drive your car for free. He'll ride with you for free, but he won't work on your car for free. But talking and test driving is something they've done for no charge for many, many years. That's Quality Transmission, McClintock, north of University, between University and the 202 on Hayden Road or McClintock. Real quick, you want to check your air conditioning. They make these little thermometers with a flat head about the size of a quarter, and they have a long kind of a nail-looking thing with a point on them. They come in a plastic holder. So you put that in the center vent, and you put your air conditioning on maximum recirculation, and you put it on the second to the highest fan speed. So if you have 3 fan speeds, I want it on 2. If you have 4 fan speeds, I want it on 3. And as you drive to work, whether it's city or whether it's highway, I want your temperature to be less than 55 degrees. Some of you with Suburbans and Excursions may be at 56 or 57, and if your Excursion or Suburban or your big behemoth vehicle is black, it's even worse. But there's lots of Hondas out there, Camrys out there, Chevys, Fords, Dodges, that'll blow. Shoot, we've seen them at 38 before. The second thing you want to do is the front of the car. There's a radiator in front of the radiator. And that front radiator is called a condenser, and it's an air conditioning condenser. And every once in a while, it doesn't hurt you to pop the hood and wash all the bugs off that. And then blow your hose through that and just open it up and clean it up the very best you can. Then you find your air conditioning compressor. And once you find your air conditioning compressor, there's 2 hoses that come off of it, a big fat one and a narrow one. Touch the fat one quickly with your finger, and it'll be cold. Then grab a hold of it with your hand like you're shaking somebody's hand. The motor's running, but the hoses are far away from the pulley. It should be good, nice cold. That tells you it's working as well. Both of these tests should be running after the air conditioning has been on for a few minutes. But that's how you can tell. If it's 55 or less, it's good and cold, and the condenser behind the grill is clean, then there's nothing we can do for you. You're on your own. You can go have somebody try, but frankly, you're in good shape. Harry, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Great show, Mark. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got a little bit of a tire problem, a little bit of a question. I know in the past you've said something about you don't have a problem with crisscrossing your tires, on rotation.
Right.
Well, I'd had a little bit of a drip problem with my truck, so I crisscrossed them and, tried to see if that made a difference. And then I thought, well, I'm going to take it into a different front-end shop than I'd been going to. There was one on your list.
Okay.
And he's been around a long time. I'm sure you know who it is.
Okay.
And I was telling him, about my problem and everything, and he really was against crisscrossing tires.
Okay.
I'm a little bit of a, confused about that, I guess.
All right, and that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Here's my defense. First of all, if the tire has a directional arrow on either sidewall, then that is a directional tire, and you can't crisscross.
Right.
But those tires that you can crisscross, I say we crisscross them because, number one, the major tire manufacturers do not say not to.
Okay.
And I like the idea that some of the tires have cupping. And when they have cupping, they have some portion of the tread is higher and worn less than the lower portion. So now we have a hum associated with the tires. When we have that scalloping, everybody blames it on shock absorbers. Everybody blames it on everything else but the tire. Well, if I change direction on that tire, I'm going to wear those high spots down. So the noise level will start out high. then it'll drop to virtually no noise for a long period of time, and then it'll come back as it begins to wear the other side. Not to mention the fact that the tire that takes the least amount of abuse is the driver's side front, and the tire that takes the most abuse is the passenger side rear. And in order for me to put the tire that's had a rest, which is the right rear, to give it a place to just relax for a while, I need to put it on the left front. Therefore, I need to change the direction. Now, there's another reason that I change the direction of the tire, and that's if I want to diagnose what you just did. If I've got a car that's pulling hard to the right or hard to the left, after I check the tire, the inflation, I'm going to swap the front two front tires. And I don't care if they're directional or not, I'm swapping them, because I'm only going to do it for diagnostic purposes, especially on a directional tire. So if it's pulling to the right and I swap them and it starts pulling to the left, I've got a tire problem.
Right.
If it stays pulling to the right, I need to align it. If it goes straight down the road, the tires. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Two of the three tell me it's the tires.
Right. Well, so, I was just a little worried because I put a new set of tires on and I started getting this problem a little bit about 800 miles and, you know, had the front end checked and it seemed to be on. But
is it a noise you're getting?
No, it's not a noise. It's just a slight drift toward the center line, even on a little bit of a crowned highway.
And it's drifting into basically opposing traffic, which is not what we want to
do.
Oh,
no, I don't want
And when you changed the tire, when you flipped them, it made no difference. It
didn't seem to make any difference. Well, you know, so I took it to the front end shop, and he drove, and he says, well, I really can't see a great deal. He says, there's a little bit of variance in, you know, adjustment. On
no,
the,
Harry, that's, oh. No, I can
Two
fix
minutes?
It. I can fix it, and so can some other gray-haired technicians. Here's
this
the
guy
deal.
Had gray hair.
Okay, all right, here's the deal. Every alignment specification, and there are six of them, they have a window. I want you to put your thumbs together with your fingers in a vertical position, like goalpost.
Right.
That's what we have. We have a green zone, okay? I have a half a degree variation. I already know that caster, that's the swoop of the front tires forward or backward, caster. I already know that if the more caster I put in it, the better it's going to turn right and return the steering wheel to center. But I also know that if I put a little negative on the right side, a little negative, say I put 2 degrees on the left front and I do a degree and a half on the right front, I know they're both of them are within specification. They're within the window. But I'm a half a degree difference. I'm okay there. But I've got a little negative caster on the right side. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop it from pulling to the left.
Right.
And it's still within specifications. Now, camber, the same thing. The camber, it pulls towards the negative or the positive side. So, as the top of the tires rotates outward, it's going to make it pull. So, why don't I just stand that left front tire up a little straighter and have the car go down the road? I really want it to drive on the highway straight, and on a crowned road, I want to slightly pull you to the right.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, that's fixable.
Yeah. Well, he said something about maybe having to use some sort of shim kits or something because it may not be able to be pulled into.
He doesn't know that till he puts it on the rack.
Right, exactly.
You know, and so.
Right.
You
no, it's like I say, it's not that bad, but I just, you know.
Yeah.
Feel a little different than it did before. Of course, the tires were kind of worn, so I put new ones on. So.
Well, that's what I do. If you want it fixed, you can have it fixed. It's going to cost you probably $75 to $100. And I doubt if you need shims with your Quest, because it's just not something we do a lot of. We'll be right back. The maintenance intervals. They're going off the intervals that your owner's manual says, and they'll show you that. That's kind of important nowadays. Nevertheless, Tom's a great guy. He has ASC Master Certified Technicians. They do the job right the first time, or at least try to, and if they don't, they'll apologize. And they have an A rating at the Better Business Bureau. So Action Auto, I-17 in Deer Valley, is a great place for you to go. John, you have the floor, buddy. What can I do for you?
Another question about motor engine, motor oil.
Okay.
I just bought a new car, 2013, that has 0-20.
Uh-huh.
Two questions. First question is, do they do this for fuel economy? And second question, what are the pros and cons for me in Phoenix?
Okay.
That light of weight oil.
All right. It has, yes, it's a fuel economy issue, but it's a good fuel economy issue. And in addition to that, again, I'm the Western District trainer for Valvoline. I have training few people have. I can tell you that there are NASCARs running qualifying at Talladega with 0-8 oil in them.
Oh, okay.
And the reason is because we only need 20, 30, 40 pounds of oil pressure. Okay, that's all we need. We don't need 100 or 1,000. And it's like blood pressure. Too much is bad, too little is bad. But all we need is some. So again, put them hands together in front of you, push them together and like you're praying, and then scratch them side to side. You can feel the heat. The old days of 50 weight or 20-50, they're gone. And this thin oil is going to make your engine last longer. You're going to get better fuel economy. It's going to get in and grab the trash and the heat and get out a lot faster than that peanut butter oil is. I remember, this is a true story. We're over at Firebird Raceway. The Valvoline brass is there, and we are talking to Honda's brass. At the lunch table before that, we're sitting there talking, and they're saying, I wonder what Honda's going to ask for. Now, this was 20 years ago. No, 15 years ago. And no one knew. So they were talking. I was just there. And they said, well, should we give them the new? And should we do this? And how about the 010? And how about the 17? And how about this and that? So we go over there and we sit down. And they're expecting him to ask for the most expensive synthetic they got. And he asked for 2050. And them guys just about pooped their pants. It was unbelievable. The looks on their faces were like, wow. And we gave them 2050. I'll tell you another story real quick. There's a go-kart race in downtown Phoenix. Big companies buy these little gasoline-powered go-karts, and they're going to race them around Park Central Mall and up and down Central. Valvoline is the sponsor, and they're selling the carts to the companies for $2,000. Well, these companies have a whole lot of people, but nobody knows nothing, so they need pit crews. So they come to me and say, will you handle the pit crews? I say, yes. So I hire my entire staff, and I says, we're going to be over here. We're going to pit for everybody. Here's some oil, this and that, da, 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 da. And we're going to, and Valvoline's going to give us a car to race, but if you win, I'm going to fire you. We cannot win our own race. Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I call Norm Hudecky. And I said, hey, I'm getting ready to race this go-kart. You got any advice for me? He says, I'm going to send you 5 gallons of special oil. Put it in. I said, okay, fine. So we're racing our car. We're pitting for everybody. Now, I'm putting 30 weight in everybody's motors because that's what they want.
2 minutes?
30 weight. So our car makes it through the semifinals into the finals. It's 2 laps to go. He's running fourth. And I'm sweating bullets. He can't win. 1 and 2 crash, take out 3. Red flag comes out. He's first. He wins. I am so mad I can't see straight. So I get up there, and it's my job to tech the car. The tech means you raise your back wheels off the ground. I put this inductive RPM around the lead, and I full throttle it, and you're only allowed 3,800 RPM. 3,800. So I go up and tech his car, and wide open throttle, it's running at 6 grand. So I disqualify my own car. And I give the winner to the fifth place car. So I call Hudecky the next day and I say, what did you give me? And he said, it's a new 0 weight. 0 weight? He says, yeah, 1 minute. Has a little bit more consistency than water. He said, will you do me a favor? Send me that motor you guys raced. I said, yeah, I will. It's a lawnmower engine. He says, I know, send it to me. So the fact of the matter is we're going to see. I don't know what they're going to do when they get to 0. How are we going to go backwards from 0? But we will, I promise you. They'll just come up with a different way of talking about it. But have no fear. I'm using the new synthetic 540 in my diesel. 540, and I'm no problems whatsoever. I love it, and I've been watching the metal consumption, and it hasn't risen at all, so I'm okay. We'll be back talking about cars, 508-0960, in just a minute.
Michael Medved thinks that gay marriage is a bigger issue than people believe.
It's largely a distraction, it's a distraction that is greatly favored by the Obama administration, the people who are trying to change marriage. But the problem is here.
There are very, very few things that we're going to decide politically
that will redound through the generations. And for
welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. It's 11:43, Saturdays from 10 to noon. We're here having fun with car repair stuff. There's a common denominator in all the shops that are on my best car repair shops list that you can find at marksalem.com. Marksalem.com. You can see if your shop's on there. And that's husband and wife teams. Now, if you're married and your wife works with you, that's extra points. And if you hold hands on our way to lunch, you're in. Guaranteed you're in. But Thompson's, not but anything, Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing in Mesa is family-owned and operated and been providing great car care for Mesa in Mesa since 1970. Brad and Thelma, or Brian and Thelma, I looked at Brad's name, Brian and Thelma from Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing are a husband and wife. They understand how important your car is. They understand that it's a major investment, and they're going to care for your car just as if it was their own, or their own mother, or their own father, or their own sister or brother. But that common denominator is no more pronounced than it is at Thompson's Auto Repair. They're on Stapley, just east of Stapley, on Main, just east of Stapley, on the south side of the road, and you just can't do better than Brian and Thelma at Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Okay, Vance, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I may have misunderstood you. You had an oil guy earlier on. Correct me if I'm wrong. You told him conventional oils were better than synthetics for his application?
No. No, what he said to me, at least what I thought he said to me was, is okay. He said that they wanted him to use synthetic, but he was using a conventional, and
sure.
He was changing it 3, 4, 5,000 miles, and he wanted to know if he had to go to synthetic.
I see. If you'd like, if you'll permit me, I am well-researched in synthetics. I noticed you work for Valvoline. That's a good thing. My father used to work in research chem lab at the old Union Oil Company refinery at Wilmington for 20 years, so
yep.
I have a deep history of molecular change and hydrocarbons formulations up to and including the non-synthetic organic esters and why Mobil 1 started revamping their synthetic oil back in 70 was because they could no longer get sperm whale oil. Sperm whale oil was specified for Navy turbines, high-speed bearings. Nothing would hold metal apart as well, apparently, as sperm whale oil. So Mobil decided to start synthesizing. Otherwise, synthesizing or synthetic may be termed as more highly refined. I also have extensive refinery experience myself, Southern California, and I own some diesel trucks.
Uh-huh.
Now, I can give you some anecdotal ideas or some facts about everything from the Society of American Engineers and why they used a paraffinic-based crude oil out of Pennsylvania, i.e., the asked-for motor oil, because
yeah.
It was paraffinic-based. Ford had a problem. He's going to be marketing these cars all over the country, and everybody had their own idea of what a viscosity meant. Okay?
Okay.
So he went to the Society of American Engineers and said, I need a base parameter. It has to be 20 weight here. It has to be 30 weight there, et cetera, et cetera. So the SAE looked at all the different crude oil stocks, which would be naphthenic, which makes great fuel,
uh-huh.
That's East Texas sweet, or West Texas sweet, and Middle East oil. Or you can have asphaltic-based, which is starts with tar. And it takes a lot of reduction to make fuel or oil out of it.
It's and the sour stuff.
Base. Now, when you get into the synthetics, are you aware of Motul oil?
No, no.
Well, Motul oil, if it's not being run, just like you said about your go-kart, you are so right on with that. People think thickness is better lubrication. It is not. What it is, what you need is film strength. Now, I saved a 750,000-mile 8B71 Detroit diesel, which was specified 40-weight Ursa. And we took it off that, and we put it on 5W40 Delvac Mobil 1. And we stopped it from smoking because of the higher lubricity ratings and the thinner film strength, it was able to use the old worn-out oil-scraping springs, would now scrape the oil off the inside of the barrels.
Yes.
So it quit smoking. And when I sold the truck to the refinery, I laughed because they said, well, we're not going to pay that kind of money for oil. So they put it back on Texaco Ursa 40, and it starts smoking, and they got mad at me.
Yeah, you sold them something that they wouldn't listen to you.
They wouldn't listen. Now, the technology is not only the metallurgy, why bearings last so long. I'm sitting here in a Honda Civic with 368, 283 since I bought it new. I have always run Mobil 1 in it, but remember, Mobil lost the lawsuit against Castrol, who did not synthesize their carrier esters as Mobil did. Remember, Mobil used to call their brand Triple Sin?
Yes.
And then they changed it after the lawsuit because the judge said, synthetic, synthetic, get out of my courtroom, you lose, Castrol wins. Well, Castrol does not synthesize well, so Mobil says, why are we spending millions of extra dollars to do a better oil when nobody gives a damn.
And nobody can know what, you're right, nobody cares.
Yeah, so here we are. What do we do? Well, the racers, I don't care if it says it's NASCAR, Indy, open wheel, close wheel, it doesn't matter. If they don't want to get beaten by the guy who says Castrol, Mobil 1, Shell, it doesn't matter, they're running Motul oil. Now, the reason Porsche went to synthetics and Corvette went to synthetics, they had a heat problem. Their synthetics draw off heat far better than a non-synthetic because a non-synthetic has different shaped and sized molecules, whereas when you synthesize, remember, it means more highly refined. It's more expensive to make. Well, it has more uniform, longer chains. Well, the longer chain gives you that film strength at lower viscosities.
And
Mark,
and
I think you're right on. I love your program.
Well, thank you. I thank you for saying that, because this is how I say it. I say if you pull a handful of change out of your pants and you throw it on the table, you got nickels, dimes, quarters, and pennies.
Sure, you got it. And you really want only the dimes.
Exactly, exactly. You just want them all to be the same. And when you talk about the race car guys, no one, they won't tell anybody what they're running.
Well, my son, let me interrupt you. My son out in California works for the Uni Dude with Uni Air Cleaners. He marketed and distributed Motul oil. Motul would come in and talk to them about the industry stuff we don't get to hear, like why did Mobil quit saying 15,000 change your filter every 7?
Yeah.
Because the manufacturers, like you said, want that car in there. So they told the synthetic oil producers, we don't want to hear that shit or stuff.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, beep. And you know something else? They don't do Mobil in the brand new Corvettes. They don't. They're doing, it starts with a D, Dello. They're doing Dello on the new Corvettes. A lot of guys think it's still Mobil 1, but it's not. But your owner's manual says Dello. Nevertheless, Vance, thank you very much for calling in, and thank you very much for talking to us about the technical nature of oil. I'd like you to send me your email address, if you wouldn't mind, mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. If you would do that for me, I'd appreciate it. Now, for those of you that have car questions, any other time when I'm not on the air, you can use the same email address if you're too shy to call in, or if you think of something tomorrow. It's easy. Mark, M-A-R-K, @marksalem.com. Salem is spelled like the cigarette, or Salem Witch Trials, or I think there's a couple of witches in my family. I think they're my two older sisters. Never mind. It's mark@marksalem.com. Marksalem.com. Mark, and you're there. Alrighty, I want to tell you about something special, and that's Phoenix Body Works. It's important for you to understand, it's important for my mom and my dad to understand that when they wreck their car, they want to take it to a body shop that has their best interest in front of everybody else's. If the body shop, if 99% of the body shop's work comes from ABC Insurance Company, then when ABC Insurance Company, if ABC Insurance Company calls and says, look, you got that core support, and I mean, it's going to be like $400 for a new one installed. Can't you just pound that thing out? Well, I ask you, what's the shop going to say to the person that gives them 99% of their work? And is pounding it out the appropriate way to fix the car? And are you being fed to the wolves? Those are the questions. You answer them. I don't care. So, Phoenix Body Works is up in North Phoenix. They do really good work. They're insurance company friendly. They have the finest frame and unibody measuring equipment that you can possibly find in the auto repair industry. And you're not going to leave there with a bent frame or a door that doesn't open and close right. You're not. Phoenix Body Works is hassle-free, insurance company friendly. They know how to work with insurance companies. 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley. 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley. They've been serving North Phoenix, Anthem, and New River for years and years and years. So give Phoenix Body Works a try, and they're open Saturdays a half a day. All righty, we have anybody? Do we have Bob?
Home handyman here, that when you put too much grease in the bearing, it heats up and actually heats up the bearing. What say you about packing wheel bearings?
No, I don't agree with that. First of all, the grease has come, the grease has progressed at lightning speed. In the 70s, when I was a kid, 68 through 72, when I was a kid working at the Shell station at Broadway and Priest in Tempe, every day we had chisels out there and hacksaws trying to cut bearings off spindles. I want to tell you that my shop hasn't cut a bearing off the spindle. Now we have air tools, die grinders. We cut it in half and it falls right off. We haven't done that, I bet, in 5 years. I don't think that we should pack the cup. Do you know that indentation between the two bearings in the rotor assembly? That's where you pack. Because what the fluid does was, as the bearings spin, they actually pull the grease out of the center, goes through the bearings, and then goes back to the center. So that's kind of like the sump. So you could do the cap, I don't see, but I disagree, and I don't think there's any science associated. It'd be like this. If you burned your hand, you got a lot of heat, are you going to want me to dribble a drop of cold water on your hand once a day, or are you going to want me to go get a 5-gallon bucket and pour it over your hand? And that's what we're talking about. The more grease we have, and the cooler we keep it, then it's going to provide lubrication. It's not going to break down. So this is one of those cases that, why is too much bad? Now, if you're going to overcome the front seal, then yes, you've gone too far. My dad used to take, and he made us drill holes in the caps on the outside, and we'd thread a zert in there. And so we had to lay on the ground, look behind the wheel, stick the gun on there, and we just pulled the trigger until grease came out of the seal, and Dad said that was a wheel pack.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't have a lot of bad bearings, but that's not really what we do today. But that I agree with you. If your position is that you're questioning why too much is a bad idea, I'm with you. I don't agree with that, and I'm questioning the same.
2 minutes.
Your metaphors are outstanding. They should
next
call
caller,
you Dr.
Charles
Mark Salem, because your knowledge exceeds most of the engineers that I've ever heard or talked to. Thanks,
you know, you bet. Somebody put on, I don't know, where somebody said the other day, they wrote next to my name, that they said when he was 17, he was voted by all the men in town the guy that they wanted their daughter to marry or something like that. I thought it was a nice compliment, but that's a far way from the truth. Don't forget, when I left high school, the principal had to step in and tell the American literature teacher and the auto mechanics teacher that if they didn't pass me, that he was going to put me in their class again. So Mr. Elkin and Mrs. Boyer, they both passed me. So I graduated. A year later, I was a policeman. And even they said, how did you get here? Oh, gosh.
1 minute.
I got there, and I was there until late 1979. And in 1979, I started working for Mobil. So when we talk about Mobil 1 Oil, I lived that. I lived the triple sin. I lived the sales pitch. Try to sell this. All this. It was tremendous pressure. And then they went 15,000. And boy, they backed off that fast. You know why? Because nobody checked their oil. So you go 15,000 miles on a 4-cylinder Honda, you're going to lose a quart every 3,000 miles. You're done. So it's better. Let's not do that. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's back off the 15,000 miles. Well, now we're putting oil levels in those cars that we want to go 10 or 15,000 miles to tell you when you're low. And that's going to fix that if you pay attention to the light on the dash. Mark at MarkSalem.com.